Let's just pray together. It'd be great to pray. Father, we're really grateful this morning that, Lord, you've blessed our lives. Lord, you put your hand on our lives in wonderful and fantastic ways. I want to say thank you so much, most of all this morning, for Jesus. Thank you for giving Jesus to us. We're so grateful. And we thank you, Lord, that you've exalted above all things your name and your word. And we're grateful that you've given us the word of God. You've given us the Bible. Lord, something living, active, powerful, life-changing. And today we're asking, Lord, that you would give us hearts that will be open to be changed. We ask, Lord, that today, Heavenly Father, that you would enable, that you would empower, that you would pour into us what we need to be able to learn, to be able to receive, to be able to be changed, to be able to know and experience the power of your living word, Lord. God, do something wonderful in our lives today. Amen. It's great to welcome you here today to our special day. Welcome to everyone. If you're visiting from another church, welcome. Hope you feel at home. Special welcome to Nancy, Susie and Robin who've come to be with us today to minister to us. So welcome. Want to just ask for one minute. If you just turn around to people, some new people here today, just turn around, welcome them, say hi, introduce yourselves. Just so we just start off with... That'd be good. Welcome. Practicalities. There's juice and cups at the back there, so anytime it's a warm way, it's a humid day, and so there's juice and cups. Please help yourself anytime, just at the back there. Toilets are just out and turn right out the door there. We're going to our first session starting now. We're going to be finishing about 12:30. 12:30, we've got lunch. If you brought some lunch, great. We've got we're about to share our lunch together. And then there's some sandwich shops round about if you haven't got any lunch. Or look hungrily over at somebody else that's got a very nice looking lunch. Then we'll be starting at about 1:20 with some worship, refocusing on God. And then we're going from 1:30 through to 4:30, maybe breaking in the middle of that time. And we're very excited. We just called the day, in the advertisement, we called it Unlocking the Power of the Bible. Michelle went on one of Nancy's days last year and really so benefited from her ministry, her teaching, and thought, well, it's fantastic that Michelle benefited so much. Why don't we all benefit from that? So it's really wonderful to be able to welcome Nancy, you and Susie and Robin. So let's give them a really, really big warm welcome.
Thank you. You know, you said that Michelle came to the conferences. Well, who else is here? It's Michelle. Who else? Who else is there? Put your hand up. Right. Could you just stand, the three of you? These guys, I have to tell you, are crazy. I don't know if you know that, but crazy. Ask them about bin bags later, if you want to. Ask them, if the church has anything to do with these three, then the church will be crazy as well. So I'll be sure in for a good time today. It's really good to be with you. It's exciting to get into God's word, isn't it? And it's exciting to get to know God more. So I'm hoping that we're all going to be leaving here today actually having met God again for ourselves and, you know, just got deeper into his word and all that sort of stuff. But before we actually go into some of the exercises which I'll be doing in a few moments or two, let me give you a brief sort of potted history, if you like, of myself and also the organization that my husband and I started many years ago called NGM. Ray and I, you can tell from my accent that I'm Scottish, can't you? Yes. I come from north of the border. Well, about 21 years ago, my husband and I were sent out from our local church, as missionaries to pagan England, and we've been trying to evangelise the pagans ever since. It's true, my husband and I were sent out as missionaries, but particularly to the youth culture of our nation. And we started a band that some of you might remember, a band in the 80s called Heartbeat. Anybody remember that? Oh, a few, right? Well, my husband was a drummer and I was a singer, and there was four others of us, and we used to travel around the country, and we saw hundreds of people saved. It was great, into the schools, colleges, universities. We even saw some people healed, various different diseases that, you know, happened, and sometimes happened just, you know, as the concert was going on. We didn't know about it until the end. God would just heal someone in the middle of the concert, which was just absolutely fantastic. We also used to lead worship along with people like Graham Kendrick. You might know of him. I'm sure you do. And we grew and developed until we couldn't actually call ourselves Heartbeat any longer, because there was about 20 of us. So we changed our name to NGM, which stood for New Generation Ministries. And we just shorten it nowadays to NGM. And there's now about 100 of us working locally, or there will be by September, in Thornbury in Bristol, where we're based. We work in three main areas. We work in training. We train up young people. We take people from the ages of 17 of years upwards, and we train them basically to be missionaries to the youth culture, to get in where young people are these days. So I don't know if you know much about the sort of club culture and the youth culture of today, but it's a very, very needy place. It is a mission field, actually. That's why we train them as missionaries, to go into the youth culture, to evangelize in there. And it's people who are almost on peer level, do you know, evangelizing others, which is very, very exciting. So we train them up, and we train them for about a year or 2 years, and sometimes they stay, sometimes they go on to university or whatever after that. But they have got, after their training period, they have got a huge emphasis of what the Bible is all about, what God is all about, and also, of course, how to evangelize and how to reach other young people for Christ, which is exciting. The second area we work in is church planting, because we believe that the only way really truly to evangelize is actually to plant church. And therefore, what we do is, when we go into an area, we will work with a local church in that particular area, but we will plant a vehicle that young people will come along to. A lot of the young people of today have rejected church, but they haven't rejected God. And when you tell them that God is alive and real and wanting to affect their lives, they're interested. But the minute you mention church, it's a turn-off. And so what we do is, we actually plant church, if you like, in their culture. So some of the churches are like a club event, all that sort of stuff. And they come into an environment where they can feel at ease, and they can learn, and they can get discipled, and they can get to know Jesus. Our third area that we work in is the media. And we train up DJs particularly. We've got, must be about 15 DJs. And we send them into the clubs as missionaries in there, where they work as normal secular DJs in the clubs. The clubs are a huge mission field. There are a million young people every weekend taking drugs at the clubs. And we want to be people who are in there evangelizing and seeing people become Christians. A lot of the music that is pumped out in the clubs, not all of it, but a lot of it, is occult based. And so what we thought was, why not release music that is so full of the Holy Spirit into those areas, and let's see the atmosphere of the clubs change through the Spirit of God moving in there. So a lot of our work is in the clubs, is in the pubs, and also we work in television, radio, and that medium as well, and also sometimes magazines and that sort of thing too. Let me introduce who we've got here with us. We've got Suze over here. And Suze is a singer, and she also works in the office doing some secretarial work for myself. And also Robin. Robin is our technical engineer and in charge of all the engineers actually at NGM. And so if you see either of them falling asleep today, would you let me know? Because we have been up since 5:30 this morning. So if they fall asleep, you let me know, will you? Yeah? Great. One of the things that we've been doing over the last 5 years has been on a walk of faith with God, believing God for a missions and arts complex. And it's been an amazing journey with God, I have to tell you, where It's been sometimes quite depressing, sometimes really, you know, down in spirit, but other times so exciting that you can hardly walk along the street, you know, that type of way, where it's just been a remarkable walk with God in seeing a missions and arts complex come into being. It cost £3 million, and we have seen God, we've prayed in £3 million over the last 5 years. Now that has been an incredible walk with God. We're a faith-based mission society, and so therefore none of us are on salaries. We depend on God for our finances individually and corporately. Up until 5 years ago, we'd only prayed in about, I think it was, must have been about 16,000 for a van or PA or whatever, and then we felt God say to us, I want you to reach out for a property. Now, we thought it was going to cost us around £200,000, and it turned out to actually be a journey that God led us on to believe him for £3 million, you know. So it's very exciting. I don't have time to tell you the story today, but it's very, very exciting. Now, at the beginning of this year, we were just getting to the end of building the actual missions and arts complex, and we went away in a conference together. Now, the guy who gives Ray and I input and has done for many, many years is a guy called Ken McGreevy, who lives in the south of London and goes along to the Ixis Fellowship and travel. He's a teacher who travels the world, really, with his ministry. He came to our conference at the beginning of the year, and he said something that really impacted both Ray and myself. And that was, now that you've prayed in £3 million, how about praying in 3 million souls? And something just, you know what I mean? When God really speaks to you, you think, yes, you know? And both Ray and I thought, this is great, let's do it. And so from the beginning of this year, we have been praying and asking God to provide us with 3 million souls, 3 million people through the work of NGM becoming Christians. Now to us, our head says, oh, that will never happen. But you know, God is the God of the impossible. If I had known 5 years ago that God would have said to us, pray in £3 million, I would have said, no way. But you see, God is good and God will do it. You know, since the beginning of the year, I mean, we've always been seeing people saved through our ministry. It's been great. However, since the beginning of the year till now, we have seen more people become Christians than we have in the last 5 years. Do you know what I mean? It's been like that, where we've seen so many people come to know the Lord Jesus. It's so exciting. And I just want to encourage you today, you know, whatever your vision is in God, whatever God has said to you to do, go with it for all your heart, even if it seems impossible, because God will do it. There's amazing things happening and right across the world, amazing things happening in our nation. We need to be people who are in touch with the living God, who are hearing what he's saying and going for it in him, yeah? That's right. I'm going to ask Suze if she'll come. Suze has got a real powerful voice. I'm going to ask her if she'll come and sing a song that is called The Great Awakening. And it talks a little bit about revival coming to our nation.
Hi there. Well, as Nancy said, we in NGM are absolutely ecstatically excited about the amount of people that we've seen this year becoming Christians so far. And you would probably agree with me that it is amazing to see someone come into a friendship with God that you've been praying for or working with. And I'll tell you, right at the start of the year, when we first had the word that we should be committed to praying in 3 million souls, Nancy's son Daniel was there, who's only 13, with his friend called David. And by the time that Ken had finished giving us the word, David had become a Christian. And you know what a fantastic deposit of salvation that was, that God gave us right at the start of the year when we first said, God, we're going to go for this. We're going to be committed to praying in these 3 million. So, and as he said, I'm going to sing a song for you now, which is called The Great Awakening. And it's quite an old song, but it really reflects what the heart of NGM is. And that is that we do want to see God bring out a great awakening on this nation. And some of you may know it, so feel free to join in singing it if you know it.
Bible was way years ago when my husband and I were on holiday in Spain. We were walking along the road and we saw some very unusual sight I'd never seen before, and that was a church across the road was absolutely full, so full it was bulging at the doors. There were so many people trying to get into the church and couldn't. And I thought, I've never seen anything like this before, I'm going to go over and see what it's like. So Ray and I walked over, And we couldn't get near the entrance, but we angled ourselves so that we could see what was happening in the church. I thought to myself, maybe it's a wedding or, you know, something like that happening in the church. But actually, all that was happening was there was a man inside and he was speaking. He was preaching. Now, I haven't a clue what he was saying because it was in Spanish, but God spoke to me right at that very moment. God said, Nancy, there's going to come a time in Britain when the churches are going to be too small for what I'm going to do. And I believe that's absolutely true. You know, years later, God gave us a vision. The vision was of a mighty, huge tidal wave coming towards the shores of Britain. And as it crashed onto England and spread out to the rest of the British Isles, it went into other nations as well. God was saying, I am bringing a new move of my spirit to this land. It's something fresh. It's something new. It's not of the old. It's something new that I want to do in this nation. And I want my people to get ready and get prepared for what I'm about to do. You know, I really feel that God is saying to us today, we're in that time of preparation. We're in the time where God is saying, get ready for it. It's going to happen. Revival is going to come. And we need to be people who are stirred up, ready to receive the fruit that God is going to be bringing in this nation. I don't just believe the churches are going to be revived. I believe that the nation is going to be revived. There's going to be a great awakening right across society. God's going to be moving, and we as churches and we as people need to be prepared for what God's going to do. Do you know, I think we're living in such exciting days. Do you know, the latest statistics tell us that there are 176,356 people every day becoming Christians throughout the world. Just think about it. Isn't that fantastic? There are 3 people every second becoming Christians. There's more people becoming Christians now than at any other point in history. Doesn't it make you want to go, yes, you know, hallelujah, God's doing things. People say Christianity is on the decline. Yes, it may be in Europe. We are living in a dark continent. However, in the rest of the world, Christianity is certainly growing. And don't you want to see what's happening in other countries happen here? I certainly do. You know, one of the people who has excited me throughout the years talking about, or reading I should say, about his life story, because he's no longer alive, is a man called Smith Wigglesworth. You may have heard the name, but he was just a simple plumber from up north in Bradford. But God took that man and used that man as a preacher right throughout the world. You know, that man couldn't read or write until he was married. And yet God took a simple plumber and used them in incredible ways. He saw thousands of people saved. He saw thousands of people healed. Do you know, he even saw some people raised from the dead. Let me tell you a quick story. This was a girl who was dying, and her family didn't know where to turn. And the Christian doctor who had been attending this particular girl said, you know, there's nothing I can do for her. The only thing I can suggest is, in actual fact, you phone or get hold of a man called Smith Wigglesworth and get in contact with him and ask him to come and pray for your daughter. So they did that. Smith Wigglesworth came. He came into the room with another man, and they went up to the bed. Now, this girl was racked in pain. She just could not move any part of her body. She couldn't speak. She wasn't eating. She was in death's doorstep. And Smith Wigglesworth said to her, I need to ask you something. I need to know, do you want to get well? He said, now, I know you can't move any part of your body, but look, if you just move your finger, just the slightest bit, I'll see it, and then I'll know you want to get well. Well, everything within this girl was saying, yes, I want to get well, you know. So she tried with everything she could. She moved her finger, just moved it.